The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Bok Shu. What is existence? How can we distinguish it from non-existence? Does non-existence exist? In the Heart Sutra, we read, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. No color, sound, smell, taste, touch, phenomena. The Heart Sutra seems to be saying that our senses do not exist. It seems to affirm their non-existence. But is that what the Heart Sutra is doing? I hope you won't mind if we spend a little bit of time this evening probing into the matter to which these words in the Heart Sutra seem to be pointing. And I have to admit, this language in the Heart Sutra is confusing, because we take it for granted that our perceptions are real. We take the sensory information that we gather to be verified. But in fact, it's a real question as to whether our senses verify the world or the world verifies us. How do we know that our perceptions are real? What makes us so confident in our perception that we ourselves have eyes, ears, noses, tongues, bodies, and minds? As I look at you with my eyes, I see your eyes. And throughout the body, there are hands and eyes. And in your zoom rectangles, I see colors. And while I'm speaking these words with my tongue, your ears hear the sounds produced by that tongue. And your eyes see my lips move. You see a body speaking. And if I raise my eyebrows and wink, you see that. Our Ango study text, Master Dogen's Uji, quotes another master, Mazu, as having said to Yaoshan, for the time being, have him raise his eyebrows and wink. For the time being, do not have him raise his eyebrows and wink. For the time being, to have him raise his eyebrows and wink is right. For the time being, to have him raise his eyebrows and wink is not right. How can the Heart Sutra, arguably the most important text in our Mahayana tradition, say that there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind, that there are no senses or sense objects? And how can Matsu, one of the greatest Zen masters of all time, talk about eyebrows when there are no eyes? It seems wrong. Could it be right? What's it all about? We chant the Heart Sutra every Sunday at the Village Zendo, and next week during Urban Session, which I hope you'll be attending, we will chant it every day. It's easy to chant the Heart Sutra without paying much attention to the words. I've done that plenty of times myself. But these words point to something fundamental about our Zen practice, and we need to pay attention to them. Since paying attention is a lost art, this undertaking is worthwhile for that reason alone. But there's something much bigger lurking here. We can start to discern how big the point of these words is when we notice similar passages in other major texts besides the Heart Sutra. In the Diamond Sutra, another foundational Mahayana text, it says, if Subhuti, the idea of a living being, occurs to a bodhisattva, he should not be called a bodhisattva. Why is that? Subhuti, anybody to whom the idea of a living being occurs, or the idea of a soul, or the idea of a person occurs, should not be called a bodhisattva. So according to the Diamond Sutra, if I have the idea that there is a living being or a person, I am not a bodhisattva. The Buddha, who supposedly knew a thing or two about bodhisattvas, seems to say in the Diamond Sutra that it's wrong to have an idea of a person. But the Buddha does not actually say why it is wrong to have such an idea. The Buddha also doesn't say anything about the difference between the idea of a person and a person. What is the difference between the idea of a person and a person? It's hardly obvious, at least not to me. You could say that people exist and that ideas of people do not exist, but that hardly settles the issue. If ideas don't exist, then why do ideas have such enormous power in our society and in our individual lives? Ideas seem to have more power than people, unless the people happen to embody the ideas. Just as it was 1300 years ago when Master Matsu lived, there is no shortage of people today who believe ideas to be more important, more real than people. It would be a serious error to casually assert the existence of people and to deny the existence of ideas. It's not that simple. And let's remember that there is a difference between the idea of a person in general, and having ideas about a specific person. Are you capable of seeing a person without having the idea of a person? That's already a tall order. And if you could manage that, would you then be capable of seeing a specific person without immediately forming ideas about that specific person? And even if you could assert that you are capable of that almost a miraculous banishment of ideas of people in general and people in specific terms, what exactly are you seeing the person with? Are you seeing the person with your eyes? Your eyes, which the Heart Sutra says do not exist? Right now, you might be forgiven for impatiently thinking, what is all this abstract talk of existence and non-existence, about having eyes and not having eyes, about the idea of a person and a person? What is the point of this when I'm scared or sick or scared of becoming sick or sick of being scared or unemployed or afraid of being unemployed? What's the point of this abstract talk when there's so much tension, strife, racism, environmental devastation, and suffering going on in the world? I understand that you might be entertaining these ideas, but right now you can examine your assumption that there must be a point to this talk and that you're going to get something out of it. Whoever told you to make that assumption, please don't imagine that I'm capable of giving you anything at all And at the same time, drop the assumption that merely because you don't see the point, there isn't one. Right now, I am a point, and I'm jabbing the world with my whole self. It doesn't seem to be having much of an effect, does it? There's a word for what could be happening now, a word that makes me very uncomfortable, and that word is trust. What our Zen practice has an uncanny ability to do is to highlight the specific challenges each person creates for him or herself. And Zen practice has made me aware of how pervasively I operate from a place of not trusting my surroundings, not trusting other people, and most of all, not trusting this thing I call myself. Given my lack of trust, I feel well qualified to say to you now that trusting the foundational teachings of our lineage is an option well worth considering. We can trust the teachings. We actually have that option. And all of those teachings are shot through with this issue of existence and non-existence, presence and absence, assertion and denial. It's like a vein of gold ore twisting and turning and completely exposed on the face of a massive granite cliff. And that vein has everything to do with being sick, with being scared, with trusting, not trusting, with living and dying. It has everything to do with all the ways that we suffer. Each of us gets to decide whether we're willing to trust that vein of ore, whether we're willing to sit at the base of that cliff as we did this evening earlier. There are other examples, other outcroppings of this vein of gold besides the ones I've already discussed from the Heart Sutra and from the Diamond Sutra. In the famous poem by our great sixth ancestor, Dajian Weining, we read, "Enlightenment is essentially not a tree. The bright mirror is not a stand. From the beginning, not a single thing exists. Where can the dust collect?" I'm going to read that again, and just notice how many times you hear negatives in the poem. Enlightenment is essentially not a tree. The bright mirror is not a stand. From the beginning, not a single thing exists. Where can the dust collect? The sixth ancestor who wrote those words, allegedly, was an illiterate woodcutter when he was awakened hearing the Diamond Sutra. Get it? Weining explicitly says that not a single thing exists. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. And with that, no idea of a person. At this point, we should probably acknowledge that Weining, the sixth ancestor, might be just an idea. While no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind might be just a person. Dongshang Liangjie, who was the fifth generation after Weining and the direct founder of our lineage, our Soto Zen tradition, got his start grilling his tutor about the Heart Sutras, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. When reading those words as a child, he touched his own face, turned to his tutor and said, "I have eyes, ears, a nose, a tongue, and so forth. Why does the sutra say they don't exist?" His tutor was stunned and could only stammer, "I am not capable of being your teacher." We don't know if Dongshan really did that or not. We don't know if that event actually happened. But if it did happen, it led directly to this moment right now. If Dongshan hadn't inquired into the meaning of no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, we wouldn't be sitting here today. The Village Zendo itself would not exist. Maybe that thought makes all of this seem just a little less abstract. The entire world changed just because one child touched his face and inquired into the deeper meaning of the Heart Sutra. But let's bring Dongshan's inquiry into the immediate present. Use your eyes right now and look here, look at this. What do you see? Each of you inevitably sees a unique version of the thing called Bokshu. Different impressions, different judgments, different feelings. Some might be feeling admiration, others loathing, still others indifference. And let's not forget about feeling boredom or bewilderment. There's also the possibility that, like me, you aren't sure what you feel. Often, I can't even detect my own feelings, just the reaction that my feelings generate. It's strange to not be able to detect one's own feelings. It's something I've gotten a little better at over the years, thanks to this practice. The point is this. Each person in a group has her own impressions of what she sees, even when the group is looking at the same thing. So the group looks at the same thing, but how can it be the same thing when there's no one person whose seeing defines the thing? Where is the truth of the thing that you look at? Where is the truth of this or that? And with each person's perception shifting constantly while they look at something, can we say that a person even sees a thing? Can we say among these shifting and limited perspectives, so biased and unclear, that the thing we see exists? Yuan Wu, in his pointer to the Blue Cliff Record, Case 56, Qin Shan's one arrow point smashes three barriers, really crystallizes what I've been talking about. He really crystallizes the gold that twists and turns throughout our tradition and our practice. He writes, "The Buddhas never appeared in the world. There is nothing given to people. The patriarch never came from the West. He never passed on the transmission by mind. Since people of these times do not understand, they frantically search outside themselves. They are far from knowing that the one great matter right where they are cannot be grasped even by 1,000 sages. Right now, where do seeing and not seeing, hearing and not hearing, speaking and not speaking, knowing and not knowing come from? If you are unable to apprehend clearly, then try to understand inside the cave of entangling vines. I'm speaking to you now from inside the cave of entangling vines, the cave where the vines grow in rank profusion. Although they are thriving, I cannot see them, hear them, smell them, taste them, feel them, or know them. You might think that I would hack away at those invisible vines, trying to liberate myself, but that would be a foolish waste of energy. Why would I want to live in a barren cave, freed from every hindrance and immune to every obstacle? Moreover, how can we be sure that obstacles and hindrances even exist? I'll close by quoting a poem by Master Dogen's teacher, Ru Jing. Great rain keeps pouring. The great clear sky is wide open. A toad sings, and an earthworm murmurs. An ancient Buddha has not left, raising a diamond eyeball. Damn, twining vines, twining vines. Thank you.